Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
This is not something easy to talk about. I can understand why a lot of pastors don't talk about this or don't facilitate sermons about this. It's not easy to talk about hell, but it's important that we do because so many people are going there. I was reading a statistic just today. I think they said 110 billion people, something like that, have been born. And the Bible says many people do not go to heaven. Many people do not walk the narrow road, which means billions of people have died and gone to hell. So it's not a place where only a few people are going. It's not a place where like 2%, 3%. The Bible says majority of people are going to this place called hell. And this is something we need to talk about. Some of you might say, well, you talk about hell often. This is like your fifth or sixth time doing a live stream on it. I'm gonna tell you one of the reasons why we talk about deliverance often and one of the reasons why we need to talk about hell more often. I don't talk about it enough. And one of those reasons are it's not talked about in the broad body of Christ. And so because there's a deficiency in the body of Christ, I feel the need to discuss it more. I tell pastors, I'll stop talking about deliverance when you start talking about deliverance. I'll stop talking about abortion so much when you start talking about abortion. I'll stop talking so much about hell when you start talking about it. This is not being preached in the church. Many of you in the chat right now, you can't remember the last time you heard a sermon on hell. You can't remember the last time it was talked about. Maybe at the end of an altar call, but we have to preach on hell because Jesus preached on hell and Jesus warned people about this place. So we're going to talk a little bit about it and then we're going to do something different. Usually I'll read the testimonies like I did last week. This is a part two. Last week we did heaven stories, but I thought rather than read them, we're going to watch some video testimonies of people that have either had a vision of hell, like Bill Weese, although we won't cover Bill Weese because we've had him on the channel a bunch of times, or they died clinically. So a couple of the testimonies, they died clinically. One of the testimonies, the girl had a vision of hell. But the bottom line is these are people that have seen hell, experienced hell, and it should strike fear in us. There's a couple things that it does that happens when you start preaching and talking about hell. It, one, strikes fear in us to say, man, I want to make sure I'm living right. I want to make sure I'm living clean. I want to make sure I'm walking in the righteousness Christ has given me and living in that holy lifestyle. And then also, it gives me an urgency. Guys, let me know in the chat. Are you troubled by the fact that your friends and family right now that you know are, if they died right now, are going to hell? Does it trouble you? Do we think about it? Does it keep us up at night? The reality that I have friends and family currently, listen to this, that I'm doing nothing to reach. I'm doing nothing about them reaching them for the gospel. And if they died right now and I got a call that they were in a car accident or they had a heart attack or a cardiac arrest, they would be in the place we're going to describe a little bit tonight. A place of torture, torment, and there is no English words. Even in these testimonies, there's no English words that can describe such a terrible place. Such a wicked place that was never made for humans. So the Bible says, let me describe it a couple ways, just nitty gritty giving you the verse. It's a place of fire. The Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 8, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Hell is often described in scripture as a place of unquenchable fire, symbolizing, and not just symbolizing, but describing eternal suffering. Because the Bible describes hell as literal fire. Being burned alive, which is one of the most horrific things that could ever happen to you. Okay, times that by a billion, and that's going to be for all of eternity, where you're going to be burning alive. It's absolutely horrific here. It's a place of outer darkness. Matthew 8, 12. The subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness refers to isolation and hopelessness. Nobody knows you. Nobody cares about you. It's complete, utter hopelessness. This is something I've read countless of these stories of people that have gone to hell, and there's thousands of them out there. And this is what people say. It's utter hopelessness. You know about your life on earth. You know about your family and your loved ones up there. And you know that you are in a sea of people that nobody will know your name. Nobody will ever talk to you again. Your wife doesn't know you're down there burning. Your family doesn't know you're down there burning. And it's a complete waste of existence. You will beg for a trillion years to die and never get relief. You will beg for a trillion years for a drop of water and get no relief. Again, the human mind can't comprehend this. People that have gone to hell and come to their body say they're tormented physically in their mind from the memories. Some people don't end up sharing their story for 10 years sometimes because they're tormented by sharing. And you'll see that in some of these testimonies, but they're tormented in their mind. There's no celebrities. It doesn't matter how rich you were on earth. You're in equal torment. You're equally burned in the unquenchable fire. It's also eternal separation from God. This is probably the worst. If you're a believer, this is probably the worst concept here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. Hell is described as separation from the presence of God, which is the ultimate suffering. If you know what it's like to be in the presence of God, to be separated from that presence for a trillion years, and it's, when I even say a trillion years, that's not even accurate. It's far beyond that. A trillion years is day one. Friend, many of you are what, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old? You can't comprehend a trillion years or 100 years or 200 years or 1,000. Let's just say 10,000 years. Let's say 100,000 years. I'm not talking about a million. I'm not talking about a billion. A trillion years. It's incomprehensible. Yet hell is far longer than that because it's eternal. So we're not even just talking about 1,000 years of torment. And I know right now you're listening going, I can't comprehend that. Exactly. This is where people are going. And I'm going to tell you why before you're like, well, God is mean. Why would he send people there? God doesn't send people there. People send themselves there. People choose this path. It's a place of torment. Luke 16:23, in Hades, he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Continual torment, both physical and emotional torment. The Bible describes it as the second death. Revelation 20:14, the lake of fire is the second death. The Bible describes weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man will send out his angels and they'll weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That highlights regret, suffering, and just describing the sheer pain of those in hell. Again, Jesus preached on hell in Matthew 5 and Mark chapter 9 and Matthew 11. We see all through scripture, Matthew 23, Jesus speaking about the penalty of hell. Now, when we hear these stories tonight, some of you are going to say, why would God make something so terrible? How could a loving God? But here's what you need to understand. Why hell is so terrible? It was not created for humans. It was created for Satan and his angels. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 through 19 talks about Satan being this anointed cherub who got thrown down, who God cast him down. Matthew 25, 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed people, into eternal fire. This is Jesus speaking, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. When God designed hell, he did not design it with humans in mind. This is not a place. The Bible says God wants nobody to go to this place. The will of God is that none shall perish, but all receive eternal life. 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 4. God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness held for judgment. The everlasting fire of hell was made for Satan and his angels. And when humans join the devil in rebellion against God, they're condemned to share the punishment prepared for the fallen angels. Understand that. When you join Satan and his angels in rebellion against God, because you are a rebel at heart, then you are going to share their destination. I've said this many times, but there's 1,000 of you in here. There's new people in the chat. I'm going to say it again. Hell is not the devil's address. It's the devil's final destination. The devil does not live in hell. Now, there are demons in hell torturing people, but there will come a day in Revelation 20, I'll talk about in a moment, where the devil and all the demons get thrown into the lake of fire. So yes, there's demons tormenting people and torturing people in hell right now, but the devil's not in hell. Hell is not the devil's home. The devil, the Bible says, according to the words of Jesus, is the ruler of this world. Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. He's the prince of the power of the air, and the whole world, the book of Revelation says, is under the devil's control. You guys got that? So the devil's not in hell, like coordinating things. He has no business in hell. Hell is not for the devil yet. It will be the lake of fire. But right now there are demons there and there are humans. And one day the devil will go there. Now, some of you are thinking God is mean for creating hell. Let me ask you this. Would you say that leaders of countries are mean for creating prisons? Right now, do you think that your city or your country or your state is mean? You're mean for creating prisons. No. Why? Because it's your choice whether you go to them or not. I'm not mad about there being prisons in America. I'm not mad about there being prisons in my city. I'm not mad about there being jails. I'm happy about it. Because people that deserve to go there, go there. I will never go to prison. Well, unless one day we get persecuted in America. But as far as crimes, I'm never going to see the inside of a prison. So I don't care how bad they are because I'm not going. I get to choose whether I go to prison or not, whether I commit crime or not. So I'm not going to say it's mean to create prisons, just like I would say it's not mean of God to create hell because it wasn't made for humans and you choose whether you want to go there or not. And I'll even go as far as to say, some of you won't heed this message tonight. I'm going to play testimonies and react to some of these stories. I'll do my best to let them play of people that have gone to this place and that all of them beg you not to go there. I beg you not to go there. Some of you, by your own choice, God forbid, will reject Christ and end up in the place we're going to talk about tonight. And you'll hear my voice for all of eternity. And you'll hear every preacher you've ever heard, and you'll wish that you can respond to an altar call. Do you know how many billions of people, what did I say, over 100 billion people have died that have been recorded? Do you know how many people wish they could respond? You know how many people are in hell reliving altar calls? Do you know hell prays? There was a man in hell in the Bible and he prayed, warn my family about this place. That was the prayer of hell. There was a man in hell saying, please tell my family about this place. The prayer of hell is please don't come here. That's what they pray in hell. And they never get their prayers answered. There's no response to those in hell that pray. Don't come to this place. There's people right now as I speak that are in hell praying, don't come to this place. They're burning right now in agony. While we sit in our comfortable homes, while I sit in my comfortable studio, they're burning in agony, praying to God in hell, don't come to this place. Please, someone up there, warn people about this. I'm actually answering the prayers of some people in hell right now that are praying, please warn them about this place so they never have to come. They never have to come here. I can't wrap my head around this. I'll be honest. I can't, just because I can't wrap my head around it doesn't mean I can't talk about it. Doesn't mean I shouldn't preach about it. And I know the sentiment of a lot of pastors, it's too heavy, it's too intense, it's too radical. And I would even say like, hey, viewer discretion is advised if your kids are in the room, but you know what? No, they need to know about this. Our kids need to know about this. Our teenagers need to know about this. This is a real place. This is no joke. We need the terror of the Lord in our life. So I can't wrap my head around it. It's hard at times for me to talk about it. And I see why pastors don't talk about it. But if Jesus preached it, I need to preach it. If Jesus talked about it, I need to talk about it. And guys, if I preach on hell, the same sermon for the next 50 years, here you go. Isaiah's preaching his 400th message on hell. Because there's not a lot. I mean, I'm just going to give you the biblical text. I don't have nothing more I can say. And one person responded and gave their life to Christ because they didn't want to go there. Praise the Lord. Some we save by fear. Some people need the fear. The Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. So he's like, I just got saved because of the love of God. Great. That's not everybody though. Some get saved because of the fear of the Lord. Jesus said, fear God who can destroy your body and soul in hell. If one person tonight or in 10 years hears this message, hears these testimonies and decides to serve God and not go to this place, to me, it's worth it. To me, it's worth it. It's no joke. Now there's a difference quickly, and then we're going to the first testimony. I'm already taking too long, but what else is new? There's a difference between hell, the current hell, and the lake of fire. Hell is called Hades, but they call it hell in the King James Version. Is described as a place of torment and anguish. Okay, we know the rich man died, Luke 16:23, and immediately went to hell. Okay, so this is what the Bible teaches, just to be clear on something. If you die right now, you immediately go to heaven or hell. You're judged and you go to heaven or hell. You're not floating around for months and weeks. A lot of Christians, which I didn't even know people taught this or believe this, but there's a lot of Christians that believe if you die right now, you go to sleep. They call it soul sleep, which is a demonic doctrine. Although very famous pastors believe this, I don't know why, but they do. And you sleep until the white throne judgment or the day of judgment, and then you go into the lake of fire. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's false. The Bible does not teach soul sleep. You immediately go to heaven or hell when you die. So again, we see in Luke 16, I won't read the whole thing for the sake of time, Luke 16, verse 23, there's hell, but think of it as temporary hell, for lack of a better term, because there's gonna be one day an eternal lake of fire. Okay, so temporary hell, which is Hades, which is where people are as we speak. And then eventually those people in hell will get emptied and get thrown in a lake of fire. Okay, so hell temporary right now. Number two, eternal lake of fire. I'm gonna show you this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Verse 11 says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, the earth and sky fled away and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne and books were opened. Then another book was opened. So there's books, then another book, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Pay attention right here. This is verse 13, Revelation 20. Excuse me. Pay attention to this. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, that's hell, gave up their dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to what they had done. So hell gets emptied out. The current Hades right now gets emptied out. The people get judged and according to what they had done. And then verse 14, then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Verse 15, and if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So now we're going from right now, this is the white throne judgment. We're not there yet. In time, we're not there. The white throne judgment has not taken place. One day, everybody will get emptied out of the temporary hell. There is no soul sleep. That's not biblical. There's people in hell right now burning. They will get emptied out and Hades will give up the dead into the lake of fire. You see that? So if soul sleep existed, the Bible wouldn't say this. The Bible would not say this, but because soul sleep doesn't exist, the Bible teaches Hades gets emptied and thrown in the lake of fire. Okay, Matthew 25, 41, then you'll say to those on the left, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter 2, 4, Revelation 20, verse 10, talks about being thrown in the lake of fire. This is the reality. So I want to just demystify and debunk, oh, hell's not happening right now. People aren't in hell. People are. So let's start with our first testimony. Again, I was going to read all of these. I read some last week that were video testimonies, but I thought, change it up. Change it up. We haven't done this before in our Monday night teachings. Let's watch some testimonies. We might skip around a little bit, but we're going to watch them for the next, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. And then I will give a little bit of reaction. But for the most part, we're going to let these testimonies play. And I hope that we can, number one, strike some fear in our hearts, including me, that we need to live right and we need to be serious about God. Number two, I hope that you get an urgency tonight. I hope that you don't click off this broadcast like, oh, it's just testimony. I hope you get an urgency in your spirit, a sobriety in your spirit to start sharing the good news with people because a lot of people we know are heading there. And if we can avoid one person in our life going there based on these testimonies in this sermon, then I think it was all worth it, all right? So again, I hope this all works out because I haven't done this on live and when I pre-record these, it's much easier, but we're live. So whatever, things might happen. Things might glitch out. We'll figure it out. But let's listen to the first one. I'll link all these videos in the description after I'm done. I forgot to do that. This title is, I Found Myself in Hell, and the Reason Might Surprise You. So let's watch this.
Hi there. My name is Lori Ditto.
Let me know if the volume's okay as we watch this.
And I would like to talk to you about a vision that I had. And my hope is that as you listen to this vision, that you will never see this place.
That is my prayer tonight. I'm going to stop it there and say, that is my prayer tonight. I'm praying right now, there's 1,500 of you in here, that not one of you will see this place. I'm not seeing this place.
August 28, 2008, in a vision, Jesus took me to hell. I didn't go to hell as a bystander. I went to hell because I would not forgive. You wonder, how did that happen? I've thought about it so many times. How could this have happened? That morning I was getting ready. We had a guest speaker coming. The sound man was sick that day, so I was running sound. I was at the back of the room while we were worshiping. It was a wonderful song talking about the souls, how Jesus loves them. I had my eyes closed. And all of a sudden, I felt heat come into the room, intense heat. I actually thought an explosion must have happened. I opened my eyes in time to see the front of the room change. Gates were opening, and a hand came out of those gates and grabbed a hold of me and pulled me past all the people in the room very quickly. I passed these gates that were at least 6 feet thick. And then these gates slammed shut. and I was placed in a teardrop-shaped cell.
Ugh.
I heard right away, you are in hell eternally for unforgiveness.
Think about what she just said right now. You are in hell eternally for unforgiveness. Again, when I watch this or any of these videos we're watching tonight, I immediately check my heart. Lord, I don't want any unforgiveness in me. Like, let this sober some of you up.
I was a believer, you guys. I would have never thought somebody like me could go to hell. I mean, I went to church many times a week. I prayed, I fasted. I'm an evangelist. I went out sharing my testimony weekly. I disciple people. I give my tithe. I pray, I pray, I pray. And yet, I went to hell because I would not forgive. What's it like in hell? It's horrific. The first thing that happened was the heat was so much that my skin began dripping off of my body.
Ugh.
It was excruciatingly painful. I looked around at the people who were trapped in other cells. They didn't have any skin. It had already melted off of them, and they were screaming. And it hurt my ears to hear them scream, and then I realized I was the one screaming. My eyes were moving back and forth as quickly as they could, and suddenly they broke apart because there is no unity in hell. There were significant pains. I mean, everything was painful, but there was extreme things that caused intense pain. And one of those things was all the water in my body evaporated. And you know, we're a lot of water, but I was no more. It was excruciatingly painful to make that change. I looked down at my left arm, and the bone in that arm had this yellow stuff in it. I now know that's bone marrow, and it went black. And I felt this pain all over my whole body. It hurt like you would not believe. It was excruciatingly painful. Everything hurt. I breathed in fire. I stopped breathing. I only took small breaths in between screaming. Everything hurt. There is no flu that hurts worse than this. There is no car accident that hurts worse than this. And I knew this is going to go on forever.
That's
and
so ever.
Because hell is eternal. And the people who are there are eternally in pain. Before I knew it, all these sins had entered into my cell. You know, when Jesus saved me, he separated me from sin. Where did he put it? It was in hell waiting for me. I should have never been there, but when I got there, it came back. I opened up like the first ones, and the first ones were all about sins that had been done against me. They're basically the reason why I was there, sins I would not forgive. And it's true, it seemed like there were a lot of them. But as soon as I processed those, then sins that I had done came into the room. There was no comparison. I have sinned so much, and Jesus had set me free from that. If I had only forgiven, I would not have been there. The section of hell that I was in was with my family, my tribe, and there were a lot of people there. And there were a lot of people there like me. They were Christians. They didn't think that they would have ever went to hell either, but they didn't obey. They had done other things. They had done things like not control their anger, been a drunk, had sexual immorality. They were there for different reasons, but they were there. It was unthinkable that I should be in hell burning. I began losing this shape. You see, we're made in the image of God. We're image bearers. But this shape was quickly leaving. And I could see in looking at the other cells of people I could never get to that I was gonna look like them. It was a grotesque, scary looking sickness. I thought it must be something like cancer. And there it was, in hell, eternally. The worst pain that was there when I was in hell was I knew what God the Father was doing. And he took his robe right at his neckline and he tore it. I'd never seen that done before. It was done the first time. And that time, what it meant was, I'm done with you.
Wow. Ugh.
I can't tell you what it feels like to know God is done with you.
That's that eternal separation the Bible talks about. You can cast in outer darkness and being eternally separated from God, that we gave some verses about that earlier.
It was as if my life was over and there was no hope for me. There was no way out. I was going to be in hell eternally, burning, twisting, hurting, and it just kept increasing. There was never going to be an end to this torture. All because I wouldn't obey Jesus. When he ripped that garment, I've never felt anything so bad. Then, just as quickly as it happened, I was back. And my life has never been the same. It took a while to get to a point where I was free from the unforgiveness in my life. And in that time, I only cared about me and making sure that my salvation was right, working out my own salvation with fear and trembling.
Preach.
And once I was sure I don't have that in me anymore, I reached out to my family to help them, my friends. And now I want to help you. Hell is real.
So super powerful. This is similar experience, just to be clear, of what Bill Weiss had, which is an out-of-body experience, or what the Bible calls a vision. So she's having this vision, this out-of-body experience, which is in the scripture. Paul ended up seeing heaven. God shows her hell, which, can God do that? Of course. Is it against God to do that? No, God can do whatever he wants. If God wants to show somebody hell, how are we to tell God he can't show somebody hell to warn people? So similar to what Bill Weiss had, that's what she had. Mary Baxter also had that type of experience. The next couple I'll show you are people that clinically died and actually went to hell. They were clinically dead. So let's go to the next one here. And we'll just play. We probably won't play all 28 minutes of it. I'll link all these in the description so you can watch them as you want. But let's just play this one. Now, these people all clinically died and went to hell. I don't know how many we'll get through, but this one's a little bit longer. So here we go.
Hi, welcome to Heaven Encounters. My guest today is Brian Melvin. He was a self-professed militant atheist.
So this was an atheist here that's having the story of dying and going to hell.
And then he died, and he experienced hell after his death. But there was an event that was after that that is also very intriguing, because God gave him a vision of heaven as well. But I guess, Brian, we'll start with the hell experience, and welcome to our program.
Well, thank you for having me, Randy. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And let's start there with how you died, and then after that, how you entered into hell.
Well, pretty make a long story short, you know, I got about a 4-5 hour testimony. So, but anyway, I found myself drinking some bad water, polluted water out of a thermos, and I contracted cholera and basically dehydrated and died. And that's how it all began. And I recall about 3 days after I drank the water, taking my last breath, and in a nanosecond, I lost all my atheistic worldviews. Like you said, I was a militant atheist back then. What amazed me that after I died, I was still alive. I was more alive then than I am now. I mean, it was like...
This is something that a lot of people that have these near-death experiences say. When you slip out of your body, they say that life in eternity, whether heaven or hell, feels way more real than our life now, which we all feel real right now. We're all watching this. You feel alive. You can tell you're alive. You're aware, you're conscious. But people say when you die, you're way more aware. Your senses are heightened, which makes hell even worse because the torment's even worse because you're even more aware than you are now. So it's not like you go to float off in this fake realm. It's your life in eternity, your second life, because we all will have another life. Your next life is more real than this life.
Just an awakening in a new realm. It's just incredible. I found myself floating above my body. I had no worries. And next thing I knew, I went through the ceiling and entered this black void. And at that time, I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about near-death experiences, after-death experience, because being an atheist, I wouldn't believe it anyway.
Wow.
You know, you just wouldn't believe anything like that. I knew nothing. I was a blank slate. All I knew, I was alive. My body was laying there. I went through the ceiling. I was interjected into a black void heading toward a light, like a lot of people have say they do. You know, I never heard any of this stuff before. And I was in this black void floating toward this light, hearing this very beautiful, beautiful, profound music. And I heard this beautiful, profound music, and it was explaining the mysteries of God, his nature, his character,
wow,
the mysteries of the universe, if you will. Most of it was, I can't really talk about because there's just no way to talk about it. But anyway, I was floating through there, and it was like I was being confronted with something, and because snippets of my life would be flashing before me, and I could see how I was taking advantage of certain characteristics of God with myself knowing it as well as not knowing it. I was taking advantage of God's gift. He gave me life. I was actually making life very ugly. And
wow,
I never realized I was headed toward a reckoning because I felt this profound love and joy and never thought in a million years that God's love was actually going to be judging me. And that's how it all began, Randy.
Mm. And at that point that you felt judged and you encountered at that point, Jesus. And that's the amazing thing, because you really didn't know about him. And he told you something in advance of where you were going. What did he say?
Yes, I was floating through this void and I landed before him and feet first, and I stood before him, and I knew who it was, you know, who was Jesus. And what it was like was having what he was showing me how I gamed this system. I thought, you know, how I, how do you say it? I was just totally a reprobate in my thinking, so to speak. I would take advantage of people. It's like my parents. God gave me a gift of life, gave me great parents, Southern Baptist parents, and gave me a great home. But I took advantage of all those things. I gamed the system, so to speak. I abused God's love. God's love makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. It gives you life. And I was taking advantage of it. I was using it for my own ends. I betrayed people. I robbed from people. At that time, one of the visions that came to me was a past event in my life where I sold drugs to the church youth group. And they got high during a skating thing, and they all came back wanting more drugs. And I knew nothing about drugs except what I read in a book. And that's how it all began for me. I did things I should not have done. And I just was taking advantage of God's love. And then God would show me all the different times he came to me, knocked on my door, so to speak, trying to get my attention. Like there would be about 3 or 4 very bad car wrecks that I miraculously avoided from being killed, as well as those who were with me being killed, as well as people that would come up to me and witness, and legitimate Christians, that is, and how I'd treat them and stuff. And I was like poking my finger in God's eye. That's basically how I lived my life. I had a
So God literally showed him all these divine appointments he had with people reaching him. And this is another torment, being in hell, remembering all the times people witnessed to you. Guys, don't wait until tomorrow. Some of you in the chat are like, oh, I'll get my life together when I'm older. Why would you wait when tomorrow's not promised? And an atheist agrees with me there. An atheist says, oh yeah, you're right, tomorrow's not promised. My next breath isn't promised. So if you're not a believer and you're listening to this right now, you are playing games and you're actually gambling with your eternity. You're gambling with your soul if you think you can just keep waiting and I'll get right next week, I'll get right the week after. You don't have next week or the week after.
Chip on my shoulder. I accuse God of being a big meanie. He doesn't want you to have any fun. I learned all this stuff, from the media, from school, arts, entertainment, all that kind of stuff. Just as a young kid, when I was growing up, inundated me to think that there was no God, or that God owed man an apology. And basically I bounced from agnosticism into full-blown militant atheism when this happened.
Wow. So you were an atheist at this point. Jesus told you that you could not enter into heaven because of this. And then he said something to you that you would carry with you to your experience in hell.
Yeah, he after he showed me all the experience of him saving my as many times from accidents and stuff, and he showed me, you know, what I was really like on the inside, and that I don't deserve heaven. If I was allowed in, I'd simply corrupt it. And so what he said to me, he said, you will see a land unknown that's best forgotten, but not to remain left unseen. When you come to a point of overwhelming, say my name and my title. And also he said, returning is an option to be yet decided. That was the kicker, because it was like I'm flummoxed. I had no idea. I wrote in my book, A Land Unknown, Hell's Dominion. I mean, I was flummoxed. I was just like a deer in the headlight. Look, yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. And that was basically it. And so here I was. I was picked up by a force after that and went to a door. This door rolled up like a scroll. And I went into that door and I was in the tornado vortex-like place. And it smelled awful. A lot of foul language and different languages coming at you. You hear this, it was very hot. You heard all this noise. It was like being inside of a tornado. I came to a yellowish dent and it was a light. I came through it, fell through the sky, bounced on the ground. And I knew I was headed for it.
Guys, is this not crazy? Doesn't this stuff intrigue you that these people have these experiences where they die and they have these supernatural encounters of where you go after you die, then they end up getting revived due to medical intervention and come and tell these stories? Like, he was a staunch atheist. What benefit does this guy have, who's now, of course, serving the Lord, traveling all over preaching and sharing? What benefit do these people have to just make up these stories that they clinically died and all this happened to them? Like, this is sobering and a wake-up call when you hear people. These are extremely intriguing to me and interesting. So whether you think so or not, I mean, these are sobering, if you ask me.
An awful place. And what I recall, people talk about hell and stuff as devils and pitchforks and flames and fire. Well, I bounced on the ground and found myself on a hill going. I looked down a valley and there's a house on the other side. And all these people come running out of the house, people who I know who have died or whatever. And they came down and welcomed me to paradise. This wasn't paradise because the tree was dilapidated. Things looked dead. It was extraordinarily hot. And they came up to me, slapping me on my back. And I said that a couple of people came up to me and said, you can't be you because you ain't dead yet, you know, or you can't be in paradise because I know what you did. Wow. And then they would change and morph into another.
So he literally gets to hell and they're acting like it's heaven. Isn't that so true how the devil deceives and manipulates and perverts and twists, that even the people in hell were saying, welcome to heaven, when he clearly, as an atheist, he knew, I'm in hell, I'm not in heaven.
Person, and I thought that was strange. Then their eyes looked like alligator eyes or like a yellow reptilian type eyes. And then they turned into what they were. These hellish creatures or the demonic beings, you want to call them. and different shapes and sizes. The taller ones had authority over the smaller ones. And they, like, they're going to overwhelm me and tear me to shreds. And that's when I started to say, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, because he told me to say his name and his title. And they could not grab a hold of me and rip me to shreds. They can poke me and they can threaten me, but they couldn't grab me. And that means a lot to me at that time. And that's pretty much how it started, this whole thing. And this creature, he stood about 4'8" tall. He had breath that was so foul that it would be like heat waves coming off the pavement out of his mouth. That's how foul it was. I could never see how many eyes. He kind of looked like a little dinosaur type thing, a reptilian type entity. And I nicknamed him Lizard Breath because his breath was so foul. As my, after I came back, that's what I nicknamed him. And so he came over and told me, come follow him. I offer you half the kingdom. It's been granted to you to see this place. He hated my guts. I mean, I tell you, I tell you, you know, someone hates you that much. And he walked over and he stuck his hand in what looked like the horizon and ripped it open. And he stepped out of there. And I didn't know what to do. I just followed it and went through that opening and stood out. And I stepped up out of it onto a wide, dusty road. And behind me, what I came out of was a cube or a cell, like the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chambers of death, or Ezekiel chapter 32 talks about the graves or graves round about or sepulchers or dungeon cells like around in this pit. So I found myself in a pit in this place. It was like a bottomless pit. So all I can describe, there's an open place in the middle. These tornado vortexes were dropping people off inside of these cells, and plus these entities, these demonic entities, were escorting people and placing them in cells at the same time. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what to think about it. And I just sat there and I looked at it, and this thing was talking to me in a hellish language, and I could understand it. And I looked inside the cells, and I could see people inside the cells. I had instant download of their life history. And in this instant, and this thing was going to show me this place. And I don't know why he was showing me, because at the time I wanted to wake up, because this was terrifying. And even when I was getting ready for this, I had to take a break and calm down a little bit, because sometimes the memories can be a little intense. And so I just remember that part, coming out, looking at all these entities, bringing these people in, watching these tornado vortexes in, dropping people off in these cubes, and this thing saying, come follow it. And so that's what I did. And that's what happened. That's how I got to this place. It was the pit of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And Brian, you saw people there. You knew their station in life before they had died.
Mm-hmm.
You account for a former pastor, I think, I don't know, I've forgotten what era, who was, had, you know, slept with many women.
Yeah.
And then you saw one.
Guys, I'll link this testimony in the description right after the live stream. So I'll link everything we play. I probably won't get to all the testimonies, so I'll link whatever ones I have that I was going to play and did play in the description after. So
person in particular. And I've got to ask you, I will let you say who that is, but he is probably the most despised man in all of
listen to what he's about to say. Just listen to this.
History, recent history, certainly.
Yeah. I saw so many people there, and you see their life history and stuff. And so we were walking along this wide, dusty road, looking inside these cells, and I was granted the ability to just who know who they were. And then some instances we were able to go in between the cubes. Like cubes are like a brick layer, and when it's since around, they kind of open up in little V-shaped formations in the rooms, and it goes winds back behind there. So we'd squeeze through the sides of it and go in the back. So we kind of wind back around, down and around. I can't explain how it all is in the short amount of time we have here, but I ended up in a place where some of the worst of the worst of the worst people were. And the individual that I saw that I mentioned also in a docudrama that was done on me was Adolf Hitler. He was inside at that time. This was 1980 when this happened. He was inside of a what I would call a fiery furnace, like where you, like Hitler. Auschwitz, where they put the bodies and they were burning them. And he was going through what every single victim went through, from their arrest, from their arrival, from their strip down to where they were gassed. Every single one, and wow, felt every single thing. Man, woman, and child. And that's what I saw. And he wasn't being reformed. He was getting crazier. That's all I got to say. His real nature was really coming forth.
It seemed like, Brian, that the sins that they had committed...
This is very common when people see people in hell or have these visitations or out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences or after-death experiences, is they will see people being tortured or tormented based upon what they did on earth to really put themselves in that place of hell. So like people, one guy that was a hardcore drug addict was in hell and his friend died and went to hell and saw him being tortured with heroin needles. And he was like, demons were literally stabbing with needles. And the way he did drugs and lived this terrible life selling drugs and doing drugs was the way he was tormented for all of eternity, which is another bizarre thing.
And some of them just vile sins, obviously, that they were being replayed over and over in their life in this place. Is that what it was like?
Yeah, it was. It was very much like that. Like I looked into a cell and I saw a man from, he died days gone by, and he was attending this costume party. He was in a kind of elitist snob, is all I can say. And he appeared to be enjoying himself because he liked charades and putting on these funny masks. But it was like suddenly it shifted. And he was in nightmare stage when the attendees began to ridicule and mock him like he would do everybody else. Wow. And he felt the pain of the ridicule. So what the Bible says, what you sow is that is what you reap. I saw so many people in there. I saw this lecherous old time revival preacher who wasn't really a preacher at all. He wasn't ever saved, but he liked to exploit his position to have his way with the ladies. And he was there reaping what he'd sown. And real quickly, I saw one particular person. Her name was Dear Pudding. And she arrived. She died in a car wreck. She died and she landed in front of me in this in the tornado vortex. And he knocked on this door and opened. And it's a cube or cell. Looked like her grandparents' farm. She went in, thought she saw all her dead relatives welcoming her to paradise. And she really thought she was there. And maybe if she was resuscitated too soon, maybe she would be on Oprah Winfrey and all those shows. But anyway, she went in there and she found out that she wasn't in a nice place. And it transpired that she was like, she reaped what she sowed. And there's these big creatures I saw there, looked like trees. And so her what appeared to be her grandmother, which was a demonic being, said, go rest under the shade of the trees. I'll bake you your favorite cookies. Oh. And you're down at this new farm here, and it's your favorite place. So she went over there, and there's no water in hell, but she thought there was water. So she sat on this rock, picked up a bunch of sand, and she realized this wasn't a nice place because she heard the noise and felt the heat. And these two tree-like things were like tentacle-like, squid-like beings, looked to her like trees, and they engulfed her. And she was very mean to her kids. She was a control freak. She beat her children with a hairbrush because she wanted them to be, in this family, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. You're not going to be a lowly truck driver. You know, you're not going to be an astronaut. You're going to be a doctor. And that's the way she raised her kids. But everybody else thought that she was so nice, but she was reaping what she has sown right then and there. All that, when those creatures reached her and grabbed her, that's exactly what went into her mind. She saw that. How she treated people, really treated people.
Wow. And all this time, the demon that you called Lizard Breath, he was speaking out to you, vile things. And then it goes back to what Jesus had told you at the very beginning before going to this land unknown. And that is to cry out his name. And that prevented you from being drawn in or, kept in that place?
Mm-hmm. Well, he gave me permission. I didn't understand all this at the time, But I'm looking back at hindsight now. And so from hindsight, he told me his name. I knew nothing about the power of his name. I did not know anything about this stuff. But I learned quickly there's power in the name of Jesus. Mm. They can't grab a hold of you and they can't pull you down.
And you're ministering now. You're obviously not an atheist anymore. You are born anew in Jesus, and you are preaching or teaching from his word. But you did return, mm-hmm. and you were still an atheist at that time, or when did you become a believer?
Well, my neighbor found me and I was taken to the hospital where I recovered. Well, they didn't, my blood was viscous at the time and I didn't understand all the stuff, but they diagnosed me with cholera. They diagnosed me with cholera. And then next thing I knew, I don't know how long I was in the hospital, but I came home and my roommates that I rented rooms to in this duplex, had to go to work that next morning or whatever morning. I don't recall what day it was, whatever, but I couldn't go to work. So I sat in a beanbag chair in my duplex apartment and I just didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to tell anybody. And so I just sat in the beanbag chair and I said, Lord Jesus, I never want to go back to the awful place. Take me, I'm yours. That was my salvation prayer.
Wow.
I meant it. And at that moment, I'm not kidding, a cool breeze came in that duplex apartment with a swamp cooler. It was 94 degrees inside, but it felt like air conditioning went inside me. And I haven't been the same since. That's how I got saved.
Well, I guess you got the hell scared out of you, literally.
That's right.
So you go watch the rest. I'll link it where God shows him heaven and all of that. But we're focusing on hell. We're going to do one more here. I've shared this before a long time ago on the channel if you haven't seen it. This one's so genuine. I actually have talked to this lady as well. We'll go like 10 minutes of this one. But she genuinely had this after-death experience where she died. She clinically died. And we're going to play what she saw.
It was back in March in 2017. And I was with who I thought was, that was my friend. It was drug buddy. She was a very bad heroin addict, and I was just dabbling into it, and she gave me a shot in my arm. It was that night when I like realized just how heavy I was, just how deep I was, just how dark I was, what a dark place it was that I was in. And it wasn't until after she did it, that all of a sudden I was woken up with water splashing on my face. Apparently I was on the kitchen floor. I woke up with her throwing water on me. And after she was slapping me, and I woke up and I just remember her like, "You're blue, you're blue," And I was like, "Oh my gosh," And she's like, "You have to get out of here, get out of here." And so I said, "I need an ambulance." "No, you got to get out of here." So her and a friend tried to drag me down the street. And I said, "I won't go." And I was trying to fight, "Until you call an ambulance, I won't go." And then I made sure that someone was on the phone with the ambulance. And then as they dragged my body down the worst street in Springfield, Missouri, they dumped my body like I was a bag of trash.
Wow.
Then they stripped me of everything that they wanted off of my body. It was then that I cried out and I said, "Jesus, help me." And then all of a sudden, like, I closed my eyes. And it was like the dark, like, all of a sudden I closed my eyes. All of a sudden my eyes got, like, really dark. It just, like, blacker than anything we've ever seen on Earth. All of a sudden I felt like I was just falling. And I felt like a little bit of a chill. Like a little bit of chill. And I was falling. I felt so fearful. It was so black, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I am feeling it more. I'm feeling more scared than I've ever felt in my life. I just started falling and falling and falling into like darkness as it started to get hotter and hotter and hotter. And then all of a sudden, like, it was like I landed like a quicksand. All of a sudden my eyes, I felt like my eyes like start adjusting like when you're trying to wake up, except reality felt more real than I've ever ever felt in my life. So the first thing I did was I looked up. And when I looked up, I thought I was looking at a sky. But it was pure, pure darkness, pure black. It literally hurt your senses. It felt like fiery darts, like literally coming in my eyes, fiery darts hitting all my senses, all my pores, every fiber of my being. Like, it literally hurt so bad just looking in the darkness. And I was, when I landed, I started looking and I was like, realized I was like in like a pit, like a cave. And it was
notice
like,
how all these testimonies
cave
are the same.
Was just fear. That fear instantly was like no fear I've ever felt before. It was like there was no presence of God there. My whole life, I used to struggle with anxiety and panic attacks. The worst panic attack that I've ever had on Earth, I would times it by a billion, and it's constant. It's constant. It's constant, constant. The fear is constant. The hopelessness. The hopelessness. The feeling of, oh my gosh, you know you're never, ever going to get out. You are stuck. Like, you are never going to get out. When I started focusing on where I was, and I felt like I was about 2 football fields away, and I still felt like an ant, to when I looked up and I saw black gates, which looked like they had been like on fire. So they were like a charcoal, and they were so, the evil. It's so hard to talk about. Talking about this experience is really hard whenever, because I've struggled with PTSD from it, and this is why I'm really speaking about it now, and I'm really trying to keep it together. It's really hard to explain it because you don't realize just how torturous it, how, I mean, you just torture. And not having the presence of God, you know, we have the presence of, even if you don't have God in your life, you know, even if you don't even believe in God, at least we have him on earth, you know, when it's such so different when you're, you know, you're there. It looked like it was just so big, and it was decrepit, and like each end, like it would go like that, and each end would have spikes. It was like, I didn't have to move my head to look. My soul was so much more sensitive because we now, you know, the human canvas is, you know, what's covering our soul. And the thing is when I was down there, my soul felt so much more sensitive. And it was from there that I looked through. It was like I didn't walk towards the gates. But I could see through the gates. It was like a lake. It was like a lake of fire, but it was like a big pit. A big, huge pit of like fire. However, it was like, I couldn't see the flames. I just saw the shimmering light, because the shimmering light looked as if like the pit was so deep that you couldn't see the flames. It was just, I had no idea how deep it would be. Even if you don't even believe in God, you'll
see. When I listen to this, the most startling thing is every one of us knows people that have passed before us that are in that pit right now. Like, that is so mind-blowing that there's people that we know and loved that are in that lake of fire, in that pit, being tormented. It's just so sad.
Your soul will know. Your soul will know that you're in hell. And I was in hell. It was then I started looking down, because I was stuck. I felt like I was in quicksand. So I started looking around, and I started noticing, like, it was like waves of like clay. It was like pink, like a salmon colored clay. I felt like I was in like the core of the earth or something, because I felt like there was just absolutely no way you could get out. And it's on top of the fear, on top of the hopelessness, on top of feeling alone, on top of feeling stuck.
The Bible does describe hell as being in the center of the earth, for those that are wondering.
My mind all of a sudden started replaying my life, replaying every sin that I have done. You relive it constantly, and it's so loud. You relive the feelings, your feelings. And the one that stuck in my mind the most was my mama. That's why I call her my mom. She's my mama. And my mama she's a prayer warrior, and she's been praying for me all these years to get out of this lifestyle and to get away from drugs And it was like, when I was in hell, I could hear her, "Oh, Lisa, I wish you would listen and just come back to Jesus." Oh. And that's when all of a sudden I said, "I wish I would have listened." And all of a sudden my body set on fire. My soul set on fire. And when my soul set on fire, it was so much hotter. Because I used to have problems like cutting and burning myself because I hate myself. I know burns and stuff, and there is nothing like your soul being on fire. It hurts so bad. Like you can't even explain it. There is no way to explain the torture. Like I could hear myself screaming in my head. The thoughts were like if you put some headphones on or whatever in your ears and you were to like scream as loud as you can, it's like a billion times louder than that is what your thoughts. You're alone in your thoughts. You're alone in your sins. It's replaying over and over on top of fear, on top of hopelessness, on top of fire, hotter than you can ever imagine. I wouldn't wish hell on my worst enemy.
And that's what I'm trying. That's the whole reason why I'm trying to tell this world. Is because there is truly a hell, and it's so horrible, and I don't want anyone to go if you don't believe in God. Oh, please ask Jesus into your heart and save you. If you do know God, oh, repent right now, ask for forgiveness. You never know when you're gonna die. You never know when Jesus is gonna come. You never know. And it was then that it got hotter and hotter and hotter. And my
teeth were just gnashing. They were gnashing and I could feel like my teeth just breaking over and over. And your jaw's locked and you're screaming in your mind. There's no water. There's no water. You feel as if your mouth is dry or your soul's dry. Your soul's so dry. If only I just had a drop of water. If only I just had a drop of water on my tongue, I would feel some kind of relief. It was then that all of a sudden the screaming continued. It's just constant crying, constant misery. You think about the time you've cried, like the worst pain you've ever felt in your heart, like emotional pain. You're crying and heaving a billion times worse. When I say a billion times worse, I really mean it's a billion times worse than any negative thing. Every negative thing you've ever felt in your whole life, you will feel in hell. And you will feel it a billion times, and you will feel it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. As I was screaming, as I was gnashing my teeth, as I was wishing, you know, the fear, the hope, hopelessness, everything, all of a sudden, I was just like, Jesus, 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 help me, Jesus, Jesus, save me. As I cried out to Jesus, immediately I was ripped from those flames and all of a sudden I was in an ambulance, like still felt on fire. And I was screaming in the ambulance. I looked and I saw a paramedic. Didn't really know where I was at or what was going on. I was very confused, but I saw the kindness in her eyes and realized all of a sudden, like, wait a minute. I'm not in hell anymore. She was like, you're not on fire. She was like, you're not on fire.
Wow.
And she was like, you're okay, honey. And I was like, please, 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 I don't want to go back there. Jesus, please, don't let me go back there. Jesus, please, forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, I don't want to go back there. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The look on her face, if I could really, it was like a, like the, her eyes were really big and it was kind of like, she was just staring at me like, I don't know if she's ever seen anything like that before, but the reason why, you know, I've got to tell you, the reason why I am speaking about my testimony is because I am a living, walking, breathing testimony of God's amazing grace, redemption. He has delivered me completely of drugs and alcohol. For over 2 years now. After this happened in 2017, I was like, never did heroin again. But it was, I was still shedding off one by one the drugs because I was taking so many drugs, each letting down, the Lord was helping me with each drug, putting down each drug. So it was like a transformation. It was like, you know, I feel the Holy Spirit, you know, just, okay, it's time to put that away. And I'm like, oh, what do you know I want? No, it's time to put it away. Okay. And you love Jesus so much for what he did for you that you just want to do whatever you can for him. So you're like, okay, Jesus, I will. I have a relationship today with Jesus Christ. You know, I didn't transform overnight after that experience. I had a lot of near-death experiences and the Lord saved me. He saved me from it all. And as far as the Lord has delivered me, like literally take away all same-sex attraction, like desires away since 2017. It was as if he was just, I was shedding off the old me, like a cocoon, and the Lord's, you know, working on me, and then you eventually come out like a butterfly. That's how the Lord works. That's how Jesus works. And I've come here not to do anything except for glorify the name of Jesus.
I'm gonna link that. That's so good, guys. Let's pray. That's a great place to pray. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we just pray, God, if there's anybody out there watching, Lord, that doesn't know you, that is not going to heaven, that doesn't serve you, I just pray, Lord, that you would touch them right now. We just pray, God, for our friends, for our family, that we know are going to hell if they died today. Lord, I pray you'd give us urgency. I pray, God, you'd give us the words to speak. I pray, Lord, that you'd release divine appointments, that we can reach people that are dying and going to hell. God, use us. I want some of you just to volunteer, say, Lord, use me to preach your gospel. Father, use us to proclaim the good news. Let us not get weary of well-doing. Lord, let us not get tired of sharing our faith. Let us not be lazy, but God, I pray you'd give us the words to speak forth and declare your words. And Lord, we repent of any sin in our heart. Come on, right now, let's just repent. Let's just make sure that we're not those people that don't know him. Lord, we repent right now. God, search our heart, cleanse us. Guys, don't wait. I was thinking when she was talking, she was in the ambulance, came back to life screaming, Jesus, help me, don't let me go back there. Why wouldn't we do that now? Why would we wait until we are in hell to cry out to Jesus to forgive our sins when we can do that right now? Because statistically, most people don't get brought back to their body. Most people don't get most people don't get medical intervention where they get resuscitated and they come back to their body like she did. You might not have that time to come back to your body or get resuscitated there in the ambulance. Like, now's the time to say, Jesus, forgive me my sins. I repent of my sins. If you're not a believer, repent tonight. This is your altar call. This is your moment to say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I turn to you. I want to know you. I want to serve you. I don't want to go to this place. Let the fear of the Lord strike your heart and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, deliver me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe what you did on the cross for me. I believe in what you did on the cross. Change my life, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to know you. I want to follow you. Pray that in your own words. Jesus, we need you. God, we can't do this without you. We need your presence. We need your anointing in our life. God, I pray, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill people with the Holy Spirit, God. Let this not be just a one night where we get convicted and I'm afraid. But God, I pray we'd walk in the fear of the Lord. I pray we'd walk and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Lord, we pray, help us. Help us, Lord, to do what only you can do. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Do what only you can do tonight, Lord, in us. Hear our hearts cry, Lord. Hear our prayers, Lord. We repent of our sin. We turn from our sin. Cleanse us, God. Wash us. Save us. Save us. The only place to find salvation is based on what Jesus did on the cross. There is a real man, fully God, that died for you and 3 days later rose again and gives us newness of life. And through his blood, we are washed and cleansed of our sin. Every one of us, the Bible says, have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us deserve heaven. We all deserve to go to hell. Every one of us deserve to go to hell. But because of what Christ did on the cross, he paved a way for us. He literally made a way where there is no way. He made a way where there is no way so that we can gain eternal life and spend forever with him. He said, I'm going to prepare a home for you. Like, be grateful. If anything, if you're a Christian and you know you're saved, praise God. Be grateful. When I hear these testimonies, I'm so grateful for the saving power of Christ. I'm so grateful for what Jesus did on the cross. I'm so grateful. Just right now in your own worship, your own words, express your gratitude towards him. Lord, we're so grateful. Jesus, we're so grateful for what you did on the cross so that we never have to go to this place we're talking about tonight. That our righteousness is filthy rags compared to his. And yet Christ, who knew no sin, became sin, the Bible says, so that we might become the righteousness of Christ. We might become the righteousness of Christ. In Christ, he makes all things new. We're grateful for what he did. We're grateful that we're saved. We're grateful that we're washed. We're grateful that we're redeemed, that he threw our sin into the sea of forgetfulness, that he remembers our sin no more. And has paid a high price for us. He's paid a high price so we can be washed and cleansed, so we can be redeemed and renewed and restored by his blood and by his power. Thank you, Lord, for saving people in the chat. Thank you, Lord, for us never having to go to this place. Thank you, Lord, that we'll never have to taste hell. Thank you, Lord, that we'll never be in those flames begging for one drop of water like the Bible says. That we'll never experience the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. That we'll never have to see those dark gates. But we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And that now we have a home in heaven, that Jesus is preparing a place for us. Help us, Lord, to stay in your saving grace and stay walking with you. Stay walking in your spirit. Let us not be deceived or misled by false doctrines and false spirits. But thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross, that we can walk with you. This is no light thing. This is no small thing. The price that was paid for us. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Guys, this is very, very sobering tonight. I don't know if you feel that. It's very, very sobering. That last testimony, I forgot how powerful that story is. I forgot how, and she's reached out to me in the past. I gotta follow up with her. She's watched our videos, but I am so just, every time I hear her story, I'm sobered by what Christ did on the cross. I'm so grateful by what Christ did on the cross. And I have many more testimonies I was going to share. I didn't realize how long these were going to go. And I will share those more. I'll cover those more. We'll do a part two of even this. But man, we got to wake up, guys, and talk about this. We got to talk about hell. We have to blow the trumpet. It's unpopular. It's hard to listen to. It's hard to talk about. But it's necessary that we warn people. That's our job, is to warn people of this place. This is a real place. And one of the things is, when we learn about hell, we are grateful for what Christ has done for us and what he did on the cross. I want to give you guys a chance to sow into our broadcast. We're viewer supported. So these Monday, Tuesday streams are basically how we survive. So if you want to give, please pray about giving, investing into our ministry. It's biblical. We're viewer supported. The only place we're monetized is on YouTube. These topics are not popular. These topics are not pushed in the algorithm. But it's necessary that we get the word out. If you want to continue to help us get the word out, to see people get saved, guys, we had 2,500 people in here while we were sharing these testimonies, while the video and while we were praying. We just had 2,500 people on Facebook and YouTube together. We're reaching millions of people with the gospel. We're almost at 200 million views on YouTube. We've reached over 500 million total on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube combined. And so into what we're doing. We're viewer supported. We don't have any sponsorship deals or any big things like that. We just live by faith. We're supported by you guys. So please pray about becoming a monthly partner on our website. You will get 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, and invited to our Thursday at 1:30 p.m. prayer call. We're going to be live again tomorrow night with a powerful story of a young lady who was literally transgender and married to a gay guy. And now they're both traveling, preaching the gospel. How did that happen? You're going to find out tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. After this stream, in about 10 minutes, we are going to have Jared and Candace. If you have autoplay on, we're all going to go over there. They're going to be doing worship and prayer. So if you're like me and that's a wake-up call for you and you're like, I want to get into some worship and prayer, well, thank God for Jared and Candace, because every show, every Monday and Tuesday after, they do worship and prayer for about an hour. So if you just need to get in the presence of God, soak in the presence and just cry out to God, they're going to be doing in 10 minutes. They're going to start their live. It is my daughter's birthday. So happy birthday to Justice. My daughter Justice turned 10 today. And she's just such a blessing. She's my oldest, and God is doing a great work in her. So we're going to be, we hung out with her today, took her to lunch. We celebrated her on Saturday, and then I'm going to get off the stream and go have dinner with her and some family. But yeah, God is just doing a work in her. And so be praying for Justice, for God's will. Praying for all my kids. I have 4 daughters, Justice, Journey, Harvest, and Nova. Write them down on your prayer list, guys. Our family is a target for the enemy. We're on the front lines doing his work. So please pray for my wife, Alyssa. Pray for my kids. We're all, you know, I know that I want to say I feel bad, but at the same time, this is our calling. This is what we were born for. But I know that they are a target of the enemy. And I'm going to do my best to protect them spiritually and to keep the guard up in my home and be the man that God's called me to be and be the resistance in my home. But I know that all my family will be attacked for the sake of the gospel. The devil hates us, but we're going to keep pushing with your guys' support. Now, some of you can't afford to give, and tonight I won't read the donations. Tomorrow night I will. So you could still give, though. I'm just not going to read them out loud because my daughter and them are all waiting for me to get off here. But I will say this. If you can't afford to give, that's actually not the most important thing. That's not the most important support. The most important support is praying for us. Give us your prayer support. Number one thing you can do, you're like, Isaiah, I don't have any finances. That's totally fine. All right? Pray for us. Pray for my family. Pray for my wife. Pray for my kids. Pray for my extended family, my aunts, uncles, all of that. I covet your prayers, and I appreciate you guys praying for me. We do have a book coming out in November. I'm actually finishing the audiobook tonight. Here it is. And the audiobook will be my voice. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I committed to doing the audiobook. I'm like, it'll be my voice. It'll be cool. This is the only audiobook I'm coming out with. The next book, if I do write another book, but right now we're just focusing on one book. I will be having someone else do it, guys. It is so much work. It's so much work. I'm recording it still. I'm almost done. But it's like reading. If you mess up a word or pronunciation, you got to delete it, go back, redo it. And I'm sitting here for hours and hours and hours. I'm going to literally go have dinner with my family, celebrate my daughter. Then when they go to bed, I'm going to be up in my office till like midnight reading my book. Recording my audiobook, and hopefully I'll have that done soon. I've been doing it for the last few days. But anyway, it's all worth it, guys. It's all for his kingdom. Support what we're doing. If you monthly partner on the website, I'll send you an email tonight, and then you'll get a link to the 1:30 p.m. prayer call and all that. I love you guys all so much. We're going here in about 5 minutes. Actually, Jared, you can go live whenever. So I'll let you guys know when he's live. I have his thing open, but we're going here. I'm just going to put in 5 minutes. So if you're on Facebook, this is the link where we're going to be going. Okay, that's the link where we're going to be going. But yes, my voice will be reading it. So if there's a couple mess ups, hey. Yes, I still live in California, young Nippy. I still live in California. The last week's stream on Near Earth Experiences helped me repent last week. Thank you for this. Awesome, Daniel. That's amazing, bro. Guys, please share your testimony. We have a big announcement coming soon on the Deliverance Map. I was supposed to make it today, but I got busy trying to finish my audiobook and a bunch of other stuff. I've just busy right now. I'm in a busy season. So that announcement will come soon. Maybe next week or this week sometime. I'm not positive yet. Maybe Thursday. Not sure, but there will be a big announcement on the Deliverance Map. Big changes coming. So I need all of you to know about that and be in the loop. When you see that video release, just watch it. It'll be 2 minutes. It'll be quick, but it's a big announcement that we're making. Big changes coming to the Deliverance Map to hopefully make it better. But all right. Don't dine and dash. Thank you, Kristen. That's our famous saying here. If you received the word, if you appreciated the stream, don't dine and dash. Support what we're doing. And we're going to listen, guys. Here's my promise to you. I've been 13 years preaching and teaching the same thing. Repent, turn to God, stuff that no one wants to talk about. I will continue to preach unapologetically. Okay? I will continue to preach what God wants me to preach. Say what he wants me to say. Talk about deliverance. Talk about hell. Talk against the demonic agendas going on in the world and perversion and just speak against abortion. All the things nobody wants to talk about, here I am. The Lord's called me to. I was an atheist 13 years ago. He called my name. And I'm telling you guys, I will continue. Whether they ban me or not, I don't know. I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible for speaking the word of God. We have an emergency email list in the description. If they do ban me, then I'll have to stream on my website, which is not optimal. But sign up for the emergency email list in case I ever get banned. All right. Where's Carl? I got you. Thank you guys for giving, though. There's Carl. You want me to make him a little bigger? Okay, I got you. There he is. Okay, tomorrow night I will read the donations and spend more time. But again, I got to get off here. Go celebrate my daughter. And thank you guys for all saying happy birthday. Are Gregorian chants Christian? I don't know. I'm sure there are Christian Gregorian chants, right? I'm not sure, though. I haven't heard any. I mean, I haven't heard Gregorian chants. I don't even know what that is, to be honest. But amen. Alabama, Friday night is a revival service, and Saturday morning is a deliverance training. And that, I believe, is full. I think the church only seats 300, and I think there's 100 people on the Saturday waiting list. So show up Friday night, and then I'll be in Georgia Saturday morning and Saturday night. But no, the Friday and Saturday will not be the same message. No. They'll be different. And then Sunday morning, Sunday night will not be the same message. They'll be different as well. But I have a busy weekend coming up. So please, again, pray for me this weekend. I have a very busy weekend. I'm preaching four times. I'm traveling. I'm leaving my house at like 2:30 a.m. I'm getting there at 4 p.m., preaching at 7 p.m., preaching the next morning, driving at Georgia, preaching in the morning, and then preaching at night. So yeah, pray for me. Pray for me. Excited to see you Sunday in Dawsonville. Can't wait to see you. Plenty of room in Dawsonville, Georgia. So go to my website, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Plenty of room on Sunday in Georgia. Alabama will be packed, but there'll be plenty of room in Georgia. So cool. All right. Family's here now. So Jared will be going live in a second, and then I'm going to end the moment he goes live, okay? And whenever you want, Jared, go for it. I'm just going to put going here. I love you guys so much. Great numbers tonight. Encouraging to see, you know, 2,500 people in here to hear these testimonies. We'll do these again and all that. We got to get you a jet. No, I do not want a jet. I do not want to fly. I don't want to fly anymore. I don't want to travel anymore. I'm doing this because the Lord's telling me to, but I do not want a jet. Thank you, though. Yes, I'll read the Venmo, Kyle, right when I get off. I'm just not going to read it on stream because, again, my daughter's birthday. So, all right. I love you guys so much. My mods, you guys are the best. Thank you, guys. All the giving links are there on screen, guys. Those that keep asking on Facebook, they're all on screen. Website giving, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, Cash App, it's all there. It's all there. Cindy, I'll put the last woman's video. It's on my channel. Just type in She Saw Hell. I will put it in the description right now, okay? So I'm going to end this right now because Jared and Candace are live. And then I'm going to put those testimonies in the description right now. So just refresh the page. In 2 minutes, they're going to be on there, okay? I love you guys so much. I appreciate you guys. Go to Jared and Candace's now. Go here. Let's go here right now. Love you guys. Let's worship and pray together. Love you guys. See you later. Bye. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. God bless. Love you guys. I'll see you guys later. Oh, that's my pet pigeon.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.